Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together with all of you this morning. Good to see you here. Welcome to those of you joining us online as well. If you have a Bible, I am going to ask you to please turn to the middle of the Bible, Psalms, the book of Psalms, and we're going to be in chapter 23 this morning. We come to what is my favorite psalm. I've been so excited to come this morning and talk about Psalm 23. And so we've been looking at that for the past couple of weeks. We've been reading and studying and hopefully being encouraged in the Psalms. And so Psalm 23, just an incredible psalm. Just six verses, but it is so well known that you may know it even if you don't think you know it. You'll recognize it as I read it. I'm going to do that now. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I will tell you right from the start, before we get started this morning, I will tell you this psalm has changed me. I am a different human being after this psalm. There's a moment in my life that this psalm transformed my life. And it has solved an issue that I had from the earliest days that I can even remember. It solved an issue for me, and that was my fear of dying. And so I'll show you how it did that in just a moment, but I pray that it will do the very same thing for you this morning if you have that fear. And so before we do that, let's pray. Let's ask the great shepherd to speak. Let's go to him this morning. Lord, we love you. We come to you this morning in our need. And we recognize that you are a true shepherd, the good shepherd. We pray that, Lord, you would give all that is needed, reveal what we need, and then supply it, I pray. Lord, help us to hear you through your word today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, as a kid, I was terrified of death. My parents can tell you that this was an ongoing issue for me as a kid. I don't know if it was because my dad died in a car accident when I was three. I don't know if it was because my grandfather died of lung cancer when I was eight. I don't know if it was because my grandmother died in her sleep a few months after that. I don't know if it was because at 14 years old, my best friend who was 15 years old was in a car accident and was killed. I don't know. I don't know what did it, but I know that I was terrified of dying. And I had nightmares as a child regularly of being killed or dying. I would wake my parents up often. I laid awake at nights trying not to fall asleep so that I wouldn't dream about it, so that I wouldn't have a nightmare. I remember many times laying awake all night long with the fear, the reality that I was going to die, plagued with that reality, not even being able to go to sleep, but that my life was going to end at some point. It was absolutely paralyzing for me as a kid. I'm curious, how many of you that described your experience? Just curious, anything like that? Okay, so some of us, I had three main fears in regards to dying. The first was when. So knowing that death was inescapable, it was inevitable for all people, I knew that. It could not be avoided, no matter what I did to avoid it. Did not matter, right? Again, that reality was really cemented when my friend passed, my 15-year-old friend. It's sort of, you don't think about young people dying like that, right? And so that really messed me up. But death felt like it was all around me, felt like it was inescapable, like it was just right there waiting for me. It wasn't anything I could do to avoid it. So that was the first thing, is the fear of when. The second fear was the fear of what. So what happens when I die? Is it going to be painful? Is it going to be sudden? Is it going to be long and drawn out? Am I going to be young when it happens, or old? Is it going to be a car accident, a disease, or some other thing? Like, I don't know, right? And the thing that really messed me up, the thing that really scared me, was that I would be on my own in death, right? So what I mean is no one could help me in the actual dying part. Like, right, people would be, of course, there. They could maybe help, you know, leading up to it if it wasn't something that was sudden or unexpected. But, you know, who can actually help you when you cross over, right? When you pass out of this life and into the next. So that reality really, really scared me deeply. But then there was a third fear that I had in death, and it was this, the fear of where, right? Where would I be when I died? And do I go to heaven? Is there a heaven, right? Do I go to hell? Is there a waiting place, something to be prayed out of? Do I become something else? Or, you know, the one that really messed me up, really scared me, was the idea that there was just nothing. You just died and it was nothing, right? Just ceased to be, no more, into the ground, lights out, nothing else. And so those fears, the fear of when, the fear of what, and the fear of where. I was definitely what Hebrews 2:15 says. I was a person who was held all my lifetime in the fear, the bondage of the fear of dying. Well, then something happened that changed almost everything. I came to know Jesus Christ, okay? And at the age of 16 years old, he came to me and I received him as Lord and Savior of my life. And immediately, two of my three fears were solved, okay? Two of the three. The first that was solved was the fear of where. So that was instantly settled for me. I immediately knew, because of what God says in his word, I immediately knew there are only two places. There is heaven, there is hell. And because of Jesus Christ, because of what he did for me on that cross, and please hear this, because he promised me that if I trust him, he will save me, I was sure I would actually be saved when I died, and I would actually go to heaven when I died. And so I knew where I was going, so the where part of that was solved. And it even solved some of the extra questions I had, which was, I knew that this was immediate. I knew there wasn't any waiting place. I knew there wasn't any place I needed to be prayed out of. I knew that, you know, the Bible says, right, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, for those that know him. And so I knew, and I still know, if I drop down right here in front of you, scoot me over, somebody get up here and finish this, right? But I know where I'm going, okay? It's not even a question in my mind. It is immediately with the Lord. Jesus said that to the thief on the cross. Today, not, you know, once you get prayed out, no, today you will be with me in paradise. And so his promises took away the fear of where I will be when I die. There's a second fear that it took away, and that was the fear of when, okay? So my fear that it was coming, that there was no way to avoid it, that went away after meeting him. And it went away because I love him. And I want to be with him. And so death is not an enemy to me to be avoided. It is a servant. It takes me home to be with the one that I love above all others. Listen, in one sense, I don't want to die. In one sense, I love my wife so deeply. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I want to see my grandkids have kids, right? I don't know, but I want to, right? But in another sense, I long for the day that I leave this earth and I am finally with him. And I believe all true believers have that same longing. I watched some of you nod your head. That same longing is in us. We love him. It is a mark of a born-again person. If you don't love him, you don't know him, you are an unsaved person. You die today, you're going to be separated from God forever. If you don't love him, you don't know him. That's just the truth. Born-again people know him and love him. So the fear of when I will die is gone. I don't care, because death is how I actually end up with him. And so what was once a crippling fear has become a longing that has only deepened the more I know him. It's only gotten stronger. And so the fear of the when of death is gone for me. But please hear this. There was one thing about death that was not solved. And that was the fear of what? What will it be when I die? The fear of what will happen in the moment of my passing. That fear plagued me for a really long time. I'm talking, it continued after I received Christ. It continued into my late teen years. It continued into my early married years. It continued into my years of youth pastoring and then starting a church and pastoring a church and teaching and all these different things. It remained and maybe even got worse when I had kids. The fear of what happens in the moment of our passing, that gnawed at me. It was always there until one day, I think I was 35 years old, maybe. One day, the Lord led me into Psalm 23, and for the first time, I really studied Psalm 23. And it is no exaggeration for me to say that when I came out of that study of Psalm 23, I was a changed person. Literally, from one day to the next, I was a different person, and I am no longer afraid of what it will be when I die. That fear has been taken away. It's finally been conquered, and it was conquered by Psalm 23. And I'm going to show you in just a moment how. So look at the first words of this psalm. It begins in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So here, the Lord, he could have presented himself as anything. He presents himself as a shepherd of sheep. Notice it does not say, and it could have said it, but it does not say, the Lord is my ruler, or the Lord is my king, or the Lord is my sovereign. Those things are true, but what he wants us to hear right here in this passage is that he is our shepherd. What's he trying to convey to us? Well, very simply, shepherds take care of sheep. A shepherd in that day spent their entire lives with sheep. That's what they did. I love this fact about shepherds. They were known, above all the other things that a shepherd did, they were known for one thing and one thing only. They were with sheep all the time. I love that. Because the Lord is saying something to us. They were with their sheep all the time. So as a shepherd, they led their sheep each day out to water and out to food and, you know, into shade and all of that. They protected, of course, right? This was part of their job, the sheep from danger, from predators, from harm. They would often sleep among their sheep during the day so that they could be awake all night watching and making sure that nothing could come and tear their sheep, right? Sheep have no natural defenses. You know this, right? They don't have like spikes or, you know, venom, you know, they don't know how to wield a bow staff, you know, they're just, I call them like, you know, prairie cotton balls, right? Like that's essentially what they are. And everything wants to eat them, right? And so, you know, I remember a few years ago we had chickens and I was like, man, everything wants to eat these chickens, everything. Everything is trying, I have to try to keep these things safe, you know? And that's what a shepherd did. He constantly was protecting, fought off animals, anything that would attack the sheep. Shepherd cared for the sheep in every way. He bound up their broken bones and wounds. He made sure they had everything that they needed to be healthy and to thrive. You know, shepherds even spoke to their sheep, speaking and singing to them and teaching them their voice. They even taught their sheep. You say, what, you teach a sheep? Yeah, just like any animal training, right? A shepherd would be teaching the sheep you know, what to do and you know, when to follow and all those things, even correcting them when they strayed from what he wanted. So the Lord is trying to, he uses this imagery to try to teach us about who he is, and watch this, who we are, right? One of us is the sheep. Can you imagine which one, right? It's the idea, right? He's the shepherd, and he wants us to understand some things. Watch this. Like any good shepherd, he cares for his sheep. Doesn't just keep them, he cares for them. He leads us. He will lead you. He heals us. More on that in a second. He protects us. He provides for us. He speaks to us. He corrects us. And most importantly, like I said, shepherd was known for being with his sheep. And that is the thing that God wants you to hear, right? Now, it's important to say this right here. This statement, the Lord is my shepherd, is not true of everybody. He is not the shepherd of every person. Not everyone is his sheep. Are you? Right? He is the shepherd of all those that have turned to him, that have followed him off of their own path to him, right? In repentance of sin, belief in what he has done to save. He is the shepherd of all those who have run to him for forgiveness and salvation. He is the shepherd of his sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Can you say this? The Lord is my shepherd. Well, if you are, then hear this. Because he is your shepherd, the end of verse 1, it says, because essentially, the Lord is my shepherd. Watch this. I shall not want. Let me just tell you right from the beginning, you stress out too much. You worry too much. We all do. If I'm pointing at you, I've got three fingers pointing back at me, okay? So you stress out too much. You worry way, way more than you need to. You shall not want because he is your shepherd, right? So he provides all that we need. That is dependent on his character, not on yours. He's the shepherd. It's his job to do so. It's dependent on his character, not you, not yours. If you are his sheep and he is your shepherd, you do not need to worry. Your shepherd will always provide for all that you need. Notice I didn't say want. He will always provide for what you need. Here's our problem. We so often do not go to him for what we need. We go to other people for what we need or other things for what we need, and we don't find what we need in those things. And so here's what I'm saying. If you're one of his sheep and he is your shepherd and you're feeling empty, you're feeling lean, you're feeling like you don't have what you need, your problem is you did not go to him, you went somewhere else. You see, he is the shepherd who always provides. You shall not want. It's all found in him. This makes us ask the question, what do people actually need? Well, every person needs love, and he pours it out beyond measure, the scriptures say. Beyond measure. Well, every person needs help. The Bible says he is our ever-present help in time of need. Well, every person needs hope. Well, he is an endless supply of real hope, and his promises to us are real. The expectation that good is coming, that is what hope is. We have an endless supply of hope. We need, as people, real purpose. Well, we have real purpose in his purposes for our life. We need joy. Well, in his presence is fullness of joy. Well, we need peace. Well, he happens to be the Prince of Peace, and he also gives peace, which passes understanding, right, to every single, I mean, you just keep going, right? We need protection. He never takes his eye off of us. He never sleeps. He's never unaware. He sees all things. We need meaningful relationship. Well, the Bible says he is closer than any family member, any friend. We need strength. Well, he gives that to us. We need direction. He gives that to us. We need wisdom. Just ask. He gives that to us. I mean, go on and on. Every single thing you could actually need, please hear this, is found in the Good Shepherd. But you go anywhere else trying to find it, and you are going to come up empty. You go to him, and you will find an endless supply. Here is what Psalm 34:10 says. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack anything that I actually need. So verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, I must be getting old because now when I read this verse, it sounds so relaxing just to lay down, you know? I remember as a kid, I'm like, I don't want to lay down. I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to, like, I hated, like, sleep. I thought I was going to miss something. Now I'm like, I'm ready to go to sleep. And my family's like, it's 5 o'clock. And I'm like, we could go to sleep now, though. That'd be all right. It'd be fine. Right? So I read something like this, and I'm like, that sounds wonderful. Let's all go lay down in the grass, you know? Right? But it's kind of trying to convey that idea to us, right? It's meant to convey that the sheep are safe. It's meant to say they are provided for and they are safe. So green pastures in that land would have had to be an area that was shaded from the intense, you know, desert sun, right? So this is the opposite of like dry, scorched land. It means that this is a safe place with plenty of shade for rest and food to eat. And then you'll see in a moment, still waters. So lead beside still waters is this idea that sheep can always be refreshed even while he is leading, right? So let me say this to you. As he leads your life, he always sustains. He always provides. It's beautiful. So what is it meant to say to you and I? Well, listen, our shepherd, if we stay close to him, he will always lead to what is safe and to what is satisfying. It is always safe to follow the Lord's direction. It is never safe to go against it. If you follow what he says in his word and do what he wants you to do, you will always be safe. And hear this, you will always be filled up. There is an abundance of what we need, right? Both food and water, always sustained. If you are lean here today, the reason is because you are not where you're supposed to be. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not where you're supposed to be. There's an abundance of what we actually need in him. And listen, our world can be falling apart, but if we are close to him and sustained in him, right, we are filled up by him. And so this means that you can be filled up as he leads you, as you follow him. Now, the opposite of all of that is to walk our own way. And please hear me. This is what the Bible says every one of us have done. We have all, at one point or another, gone our own way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we, so you and me, like sheep, we have all gone astray. We've gone our own way off of his path. It says we have turned, it literally means to turn away from him, everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So as sheep, we've all gone our own way, and this has brought nothing but problems into our life and leanness into our soul and dryness into our lives. Anytime we are away from him, it is this, right? We bring damage into our lives. You think about a sheep. Any sheep that wanders off on its own away from the protection of the shepherd is not safe. We are not safe away from him. Not for a moment. And nothing fills, nothing satisfies apart from him. We end up away, we end up on our own, we end up in unsafe places, unfulfilled. Some of you, this is describing life for you right now. You're trying to live life separate, away from the Lord, apart from the Lord. Well, hear this, like a sheep that has wandered off from the shepherd, there can be no safety. There can be no safety for a sheep that's off on its own. It has no defenses. It has no ability. It's going to get chased. It's going to be torn. It's going to be hurt, right? There is no rest, not apart from the shepherd. The shepherd is what creates the rest. It's his protection that causes the rest. We did not all start out as one of his sheep, did we? There came a moment when we had to come with him into his sheepfold. And this is what the Bible says. He came to us. You did not go to him. You as a sheep did not go looking for a shepherd. The Bible is very clear about this. Nobody has sought No one seeks. No one goes after the Lord. The Lord comes after us. We didn't go to him to seek him out. He came to us when we were on our own in the wild without a shepherd, chased and torn by enemies and animals and everything else of this world, right? He came to us. And maybe he's coming to you this morning, and here's what he says. He says, follow me. Out of all of this, follow me. And that is what Jesus said over 22 times in the Gospels. He said it over and over, follow me. Like a shepherd pulling a sheep from where he's been, follow me now. Well, this is what verse 3 says. It says, he restores my soul. If a sheep wandered off, it became a very urgent situation. There were many enemies out. Like we said, everything wanted to eat these sheep. And so the shepherd would leave the 99 and go after the one. Jesus said that, didn't he? And when the shepherd would find his sheep, right, it was often torn and bleeding and injured. And so he would bind up the wounds and he would set the bones and he would apply the medicine and he would, you know, all of this to bring healing to the wayward lamb. But the same is true for you and I. This is what he's trying to convey. Has life torn you up? Right? Before he found you, is that what happened? Your life is people hurt you? What they did to you? Or you hurt you? The choices that you made? Or life hurt you through its troubles, through its pain? Well, hear the words. He restores my soul. The word restores means to bring back. And it's written in the imperfect tense, which means it's something that God is continually doing. He is repairing, he is fixing, he is healing you and I from the time of our wandering. He has been healing, and it means he won't stop because it's what we need. Now, this world would have you believe that you can never really be healed. That he can never really restore. This world would have you believe that you are a victim of whatever has happened forever, that that's what you are, that's what has happened, it's what you are for the rest of your life. You can never be restored. You can never be whole. You can never be healed completely. This world would tell you that's not possible. And the reason is because they don't know the Good Shepherd. They only know human ability. And if it's human ability, you're right. Nobody can heal you. No one. Your counselor can't heal you. Medication can't heal you. The church can't heal you. People can't heal you. Friends can't heal you. Experiences can't heal you. Vacation can't heal you. Rest can't heal you. Money can't do it. Nothing can do it but him. And so, of course, the world has no message of actual restoration for you. They know nothing about it. They don't have a shepherd, Jesus said. They are like shepherd without a sheep. Excuse me, sheep without a shepherd. Flip that around. You know what I'm saying. All right. But listen, this is, as Christians, sometimes we can buy into this idea that God cannot heal us, that somehow he cannot actually restore us, that this is what we are forever. This is what it's going to be forever. To that, here's what I would say. How tragically sad it is to look away from the shepherd who is actually binding up your wounds, to keep peeling back what he has bound up, to keep staring at those wounds instead of him. What a terrible waste. What a tragic, tragic thing to do. What, how tragic it is to think that that is what you are forever, a hurt person, a victim, when he is the one who restores our souls. Folks, it doesn't just say that he band-aids the skin. He restores the soul to the core of you as a human being. He can absolutely restore you forever. Your past can be left in the past. It can be completely what you were and not what you are. You got to let him, though. You got to let him. You gotta completely reject the nonsense of this world. And you gotta understand there's one person who heals. And it's not a person. It's him. It's our Lord. It's our Savior. Verse 3 describes how he does it. Look what it says. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is the way that he heals. This is the way that he restores. He leads us to his path. So I want you to imagine, right? A sheep runs off. It's off in the wilderness, right? It's torn. It's beat up. It's chased. It's tired. It's bleeding. It can't rest, right? It's broken. And then he comes to that animal now, and he picks that animal up and brings that animal now onto his path, right? Into his care. That is how he heals. There is no healing apart from him. There is no healing apart from him. He comes, he gets us from wherever we wandered to in our lost and broken condition. And he says, okay, no more of this. Come with me. Follow me. And he leads us out of those dangerous places. Watch this. To safe paths. To his righteous paths. That is how healing happens. Can I tell you, time does not heal all wounds. He does. Time will never heal you. Jesus will, if you let him. His ways are healing. His paths are safe. His words are life. And it says that he does this not only for our sake, but also for who he is. It says for his name's sake. And this means he's showing you who he actually is. Have you realized yet that he is the only one who heals? Have you realized that yet? That nothing else can heal you? That no one else can do it? It's only him. There is healing found in no one else. It's only in him. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 says about the Lord Jesus, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings." Psalm 103:3 says that he alone is the one who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Psalm 147:3 says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I mean, we could go on and on and on. It is only found in him. And if you need evidence of that, all you have to do is think about any time you've looked anywhere else. What did you find? Well-meaning people? Sure. People who tried? Sure. But where has it ever come from? It's only from him. And now we come to the verse that solved my fear of death. Verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I'm not trying to bum you out, but every single one of us is going to walk through this valley. Okay? This valley of shadows. We will all die. The picture that is painted here of death is very simple. It's just a valley. And when you look into it, it's dark with shadows. So you can't tell what's in it. You can't see. And isn't that what death is for us? Like, it's all around us, but we've never gone through it, so we don't know what it is, right? It's still very much a valley of shadows for us. We don't see. We don't know what's there, right? We've never gone through that. But the picture here is meant to convey the fear that we have as people of dying. The picture is of a sheep standing on one side in need of getting to the other side, but that there is this valley, dark and shadowy. It's death, and the sheep has to pass through. And in that darkness, anything, right? That's the idea. Anything could be hiding. Anything could happen. That's the fear. But there's two things I want you to notice about this valley of shadows. The first is that shadows are always caused by light. I want you to think about that for a moment. It's been said, for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. And so there is. The light comes from his eternal kingdom, which shines forever on the other side of that valley. You say, why are you saying that? Because listen, when you die, you do not just cross a valley of shadows, you cross into a kingdom forever, where that light never goes out. It shines forever. It's his kingdom, and you will cross into light, into his kingdom forever. The second thing to notice is that it is only a shadow of death. For the Christian, please hear this, the Bible is very clear. You will not die. We don't die as believers. That's what Jesus said in John 11. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die physically, right, he shall live eternally, right? Live forever. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said. We do not die because according to God, death is separation from the Lord. And so those of us who have trusted him for salvation, we will never be separated from the Lord. Romans 8:38, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you know him, you will never die because you will never be separated from him. His people do not die. And so, listen, this is only a shadow of death that you have to walk through. It's not death itself. It's just a shadow. And when we understand that death is just a shadow, man, the fear is removed, isn't it? Charles Spurgeon said it this way, nobody is afraid of a shadow, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. The shadow of death cannot destroy us. How beautiful. It's just a shadow. Now, we're all going to have to go through that valley. And as I said, the part that scared me for most of my life was the thought of going through that valley alone. Well, verse 4, the end of it changes everything. Look what it says. Yes, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Watch this. I will fear no evil. David says, I do not need to fear anything in my dying. I don't need to fear as I cross into that valley. I don't need to be worried about anything happening to me when I die. No enemy do I need to worry about in my death. No fear of any evil happening to me as I pass. As I am dying, I do not need to worry. Why? One reason only, five little words. Look what it says, end of verse 4. For you are with me. This is what changed everything for me. And it's what took away my last enemy in my fear of dying. Those five words, for you are with me. In Hebrew, it means you are with me as I enter into and walk through that valley. He is with me in the valley of death as I die. In other words, please hear this. I will not, you will not, if he is your shepherd, you will not walk alone through that valley. My shepherd will not leave me to walk through that valley alone. He will lead me through that moment. And what a revelation this was to me. This might be something you've known your entire life. For me, this was a revelation to me. This changed everything for me because I finally realized, of course, at the moment that I need him most, at the moment I am most afraid, at the moment of my desperate need, of course he's not going to just leave me and make me walk through this myself, by myself, figure it out for myself, walk through this alone. He will not leave me even for a moment, the Bible says. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He's never forsaken me in this life. Would he forsake me in the moment of my death? Of course not. To make me walk through that valley alone? Of course not. He will lead me through. This is what it says. He will be by my side. He will protect me. The shepherd will lead this sheep home, and he will lead you home. He will be there the whole way. Psalm 16:8 says, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. What do I have to fear if he's walking me home? I need to fear nothing. Isaiah 43, verse 2, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Why? For I am the Lord, your God. He will lead you. He will come and bring you home. You will not have to walk that alone. He will not only be there, but he will protect and lead. Look what it says there at the end of verse 4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does this mean? Well, shepherd carried those two things, carried a rod and carried a staff. A staff was the long, you know, sort of shepherd's walking stick that you would think of. And it was always a picture of leading. I found this very interesting. A shepherd could walk away from the flock of his sheep. If he didn't have his staff in his hand, he could walk away and he could go check out something, go do something or whatever, and the sheep would not follow him. But the moment he picked up the staff and began to walk, they would follow. Isn't that interesting? It was like, it's time to move. It's time to go. Right? He had taught them this. And so the staff was this picture of the shepherd leading. But I want you to hear David is saying to the Lord, in the moment of my dying, I know you will lead me through this thing I've never been through. You will lead me through that valley. You know exactly what you're doing. You are the one that holds in your hands the keys to life and death. Everything is light to you, the scriptures say. There is no darkness for you. You see everything perfectly. You will lead me through in those moments when I've never been through this. You'll come. David says, it comforts me. You'll have your staff in your hand. And you'll lead me home. And then he says, the rod. The rod was a short, hooked, handled club. It was carved from a single piece of wood, usually had a heavy ball shape on the end of it with a spike. And it was a weapon shepherds could use in close proximity to do some serious damage, or they actually got pretty good at throwing it and, again, doing some serious damage to an animal. David is saying here now, he's saying, in my dying, not only do you have your staff in your hand where you will lead me, but you also have your rod, you will protect me. I don't know what it is to walk through this valley, David said, but I have comfort that your staff will be in your hand to lead me and your rod will be in your hand to protect me from any enemy. Beautiful, true shepherd, walking his sheep home. He will lead you and protect you. This makes sense, right? He's never left you, not even for a moment in your whole life. Even if other people have, he never has. Why in the world would he leave you to pass into the next on your own? And so this solved the final fear of what will happen and how do I go through that alone? And the answer is, I will not, and neither will you. Now, when I first learned this, I wanted to tell everyone this, because I thought it was such a revelation, and I would tell people, and they'd be like, yeah, duh. And I'm like, no, you got to understand. And they're like, yeah, I already knew that. And I'm like, okay, fine, get away from me. I'm going to go tell someone that doesn't know, right? But anyway, so not long after this, I had the opportunity to teach this for the first time. I was at a church that was quite large. There's a lot of people and things there, and I taught in place of one of the pastors, and this is where the Lord led me, Psalm 23. And something happened that night that I will not forget. I had finished speaking. It was in Southern California, and so it was a very nice night outside. I was out on the patio. People are walking. You know, they're leaving. They're stopping. We're talking. I'm praying with people. We're talking this, that, and the other thing. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye that there was a man, a woman, and a boy. He was a teenager. I could see they were waiting. And so I was talking to these people and kind of wrapped that up. And then I was talking to the next person and kind of wrapped that up. And then I looked at them and they came up and they began to thank me for the message. But then all three of them were sobbing. And I was like, are you guys okay? And they said, well, let me explain to you why this message meant so much to us. And I said, what happened? And they said, well, 6 months ago, our 12-year-old daughter was in the car in front of us. And that car, I can't remember what they said happened. Something happened and the car flipped and then slammed into something. And they watched all of this happen in front of them. And they pulled the car over and they, by the time they got to her, the 12-year-old, she was dead. So what they said to me was that the hardest part for us has been that she loved Jesus, they said. So we know where she went. But the hardest part for us was that she had to do that alone, right? Like that she was on her own, that we weren't there to like comfort and help her in that moment of her passing. And you told us tonight she wasn't alone. And really, God told them that she wasn't alone. I think about it as a dad, you know, like I would want to be there with my kid to say, it's going to be okay. Like he's faithful. They didn't get to do that for her. And it's been so hard for them. And they said, but he came and he took her home. She walked home with him. He walked her home. I said, yes, he did. He's faithful to do that because he's a good shepherd. You're going to see her face. And we just rejoiced in God and we rejoiced in his word, just rejoiced in who he is. I'm just so thankful for that. You know, and I've seen that many times now as a pastor. I've watched people as they pass into eternity. I watch the Lord come get them. It's amazing to see it. Their faces light up. He's there. They're talking to him. It's amazing. One of my favorite stories is of evangelist D.L. Moody in his passing. He was dying from congestive heart failure. And he was sitting in his favorite chair in his home, and his wife, she kept checking on him here and there. And he was saying different things, wasn't making a lot of sense. At one point, he was singing. At another point, he said he saw the gates of heaven. He saw the children. He was talking about his grandchildren that had passed. And at one point, she said, Dwight, are you okay? And he said, yes. And she said, what are you doing? He said, I'm waiting. She said, for what? And she said, for him. I'm waiting for him. Well, she came in a few moments later, and D.L. Moody was standing, and she said, are you okay? And he said, he's here. And then down onto his knees and down onto his face, the Lord had come to take him home. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Listen, once you understand, there's no grim reaper. It's a true shepherd who comes for us. Your shepherd comes and leads you home. And once you understand this, it becomes clear. Everything, this thing that everybody's trying to avoid all the time, trying not to think about, we're all trying to just ignore it. Do you understand? This is going to be the greatest day of your life. The greatest day of your life is going to be the day of your death. Because you will not die. You just go home. He comes and brings you home. Now listen, we don't ever take our life. That's not ours to take. It doesn't belong to us. We don't take our lives. Our lives are his. But the day of your death, if you're one of his sheep, will be the most wonderful day of your life as your shepherd himself comes to lead you home. Death is not your enemy. Please hear this. It is not your enemy. It is his servant. It is his servant to bring you to him. What a beautiful thing. Death serves him. And so David now describes what it is once we pass through that valley. Look what it says. We enter into his kingdom, into his home. We come to his table. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In his home, right? You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The words of hospitality, the words of being in someone's home. I love the words, my cup runs over. Those four words describe what heaven is. I want you to go home today. I want you to take a glass and I want you to pour into that until it starts overflowing all over your table and your floor and everything. I just pour and just keep pouring. And now you're getting the picture of what heaven is. He pours into us joy until it literally is overflowing. That's what it says. That's what it is to be in his presence. That's what heaven is. The joy of the Lord poured into you until it overflows. What beautiful. And here, verse 6 describes the joy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is heaven. This is what it is. This is what is coming for you if you are his sheep. The troubles of this life, which are many, are soon over. Goodness and mercy will be poured in, overflowing, and then you will be with the Lord forever. Praise God. This is what the whole plan has been about. Listen, it's not about church. It's not about religion. It's not about being moral and good and getting it right and doing all. It's not about any of that. It's about God being with you, us together with him forever. That's the goal. Revelation 22, right? It started out in Genesis with us together. Sin broke it. Go all the way to Revelation, and guess what happens? We're back together with the Lord. Revelation 22, verse 3 says, I heard a loud voice from heaven. And here's what it said. Behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, is with men. And he will dwell with them. He's going to live with us. What do we say about shepherds? They're known for being with their sheep, right? He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And listen, this is what heaven really is. It is a place, please hear this, for those that love him. Those that love him and those that want to be with him forever. Do you love him? Do you want to be with him forever? I believe every true believer loves the Lord. If you don't love him, it's because you don't know him. If you don't love him, it's because you don't know him. And heaven is not for you if you don't love him. It's not for you. No one who does not love him will be there. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: heaven would be an intolerable hell for the person who is unrepentant, even if he could be allowed to enter. It would be an intolerable hell. Why? Because heaven is not about gold and pearl gates and things like that. It is about being with the Lord forever. If you don't love him, heaven's not for you. Heaven would not be heaven to a person who does not love him and want to be with him forever. But for those of us who do, man, we can't wait, right? Can't wait. Hear the words. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And here's the word: forever. The blessings of this psalm, they only apply to those who can say the first words of the psalm: the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd and that you are one of his sheep? Can you say that? Can you mean that? It does not apply to everyone. It applies to those of us who have followed the shepherd, right? We are one of his sheep. He is our shepherd. The question is he yours? The good shepherd comes to you this morning trying to lead you away from your wandering path. Here's what he says: follow me. Will you follow him? Will you let him save you? You can do it now. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for what you have done. Lord, I pray for any person here, any person watching, that does not actually know you. They're out on their own. They're away from you, Lord. They are sheep without a shepherd. If that's you this morning, if you are a sheep without a shepherd, but you want to be saved today, you just have to receive him. You need to repent of your sin, admit your need to God. You must believe in what Jesus Christ did on that cross. He came to die for you and me to save us. You have to let him save you today. You have to follow him. You have to leave your path. You have to follow his. You have to make him your shepherd today. If you will do that, he will receive you. He is wanting to. He will not force you. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you came into this world to save. We look to you now. We thank you for being good. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.